today is going to be on money conflicts in marriages. And I don't know about any one of you, but money has always been a topic for arguments, a topic of disagreement, a topic of divorce for as long as I can remember. So I'm going to give you 7 issues that deals with money conflict in marriages tonight. We want to make sure that if you're thinking about getting married, or if you're already married, or if you're married and on the brink of divorce because of some of these issues I'm going to mention, I'm hoping that you'll take another look at it, that you'll try to compromise, especially with some of the 7 conflict issues that we're going to talk about. Now, 1, this is It's All About You. I have a website, www.itsallaboutyou.solutions. I also have a YouTube channel, and my YouTube channel is It's All About You Life Coaching, Sharon Hill. I am Sharon Hill Withers, and I promise you tonight is going to be enlightening. You're going to get some information you haven't had before. And you can inbox me as well if there's some things that you would like to talk about further. And I want you guys to know that these 7 issues or little things that you need to be aware of in regards to money conflict and relationships and marriage in particular, I promise you that I'm hoping that you guys will kind of look at things a little bit differently by the end. And I'm only going to keep you 15 minutes. You know, I get in, I get out, because I know everybody's busy. And if you like me, you got some kids you got to feed and a husband to tend to and clothes to wash like I do. So I just wanted to, A, thank you for tuning in to It's All About You. B, I wanted to let you know that I am so excited about having the opportunity to share this information with you. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started. The first money conflict, and it's not in any particular order, we're going to mention 7, but 1 is different money styles. Certain people have different styles on how they spend money. You have some styles that say, if I got it, I can spend it because I worked hard for it and that's what I want to do with it. You have some styles that are very organized, methodical, and strategic so that they save, they invest, and they do things with their money that's going to help in the long run. So you at least have 2 styles on most of people where they want to spend the money now, or you have people want to save it, invest it now so they can spend money later. When you have 2 different styles in the relationship, you have to figure out which style you are and which style your partner is. And I'll be honest with you, if either one of you are the same style, you can definitely have some conflict there as well, because then you'll get into conflict on how you're going to spend the money or when you're going to spend the money. So keep in mind that there are some styles that you need to be aware of, and you can Google them. 2, the second issue. Wow, this one's a big one, guys. Not being transparent about the finances. I think sometimes both parties can be guilty of this. I know, being a woman, and we have learned to hide money. In other words, we learn to get what we want and then hide it so you don't find out about it until it's too late to be mad about it. I've done that before. I've seen something that I wanted, didn't really rationalize, and didn't ask my husband, could I spend money on that? That's always a big issue, okay? And even if men, if you see something that you want for your car, or if you want to get something for the yard or the house, or maybe it's just some tennis shoes and t-shirt, a pair of pants, whatever you want to get for yourself, the thought is my money, I earned it, I should be able to do what I want to with it. And when you're not transparent about what you're doing with it, and then there's not enough money, here comes the arguments. So one thing you can rest assured, if the basic bills are not paid, there's going to be money arguments in the relationship. Your mortgage, your lights, your water, your car payments, your insurances, things that you have to have in order for you to sustain at least the most basic living, dwelling expenses. And then the other part, if there's any left over, don't just go and spend it all on you. Make sure you have a conversation about what's left over, if you want to split it in half, or if you want to go in together and buy something together. But a conversation needs to be had, and everybody in the relationship needs to be transparent about where the money's going and what you're doing with it. Number three, his and her debt. Woo-wee. Now here's a big one. Cause sometimes when couples get together, they don't even consider how much debt the person they're getting ready to marry for the rest of their lives have. They are in love, and that's the least amount of worry that they have on their mind. What they do is they go ahead and get married because you the one, baby. You the one I want to be with for the rest of my life. And then they find out the other person could buy a piece of chicken on credit. And I mean a chicken wing, okay? And so that makes for some hardships financially when the credit is jacked up on one end and then a person who has credit or good credit on the other end. And just so you know, when you get married, they look at y'all together, not individually. So you can have good credit and marry somebody with bad credit and it impacts your credit. So his and her debt. If you are in a relationship and you have debt, you should have a goal to pay that debt off. If you have collections, you should have a goal to pay some of that off. But do whatever you have to do to get your credit score increased at least over 600 if you can't do anything else, to make sure that you guys have a fighting chance in your marriage. Nobody talks about the importance of credit anymore. I know in my community, we don't even think about credit. We hadn't talked about credit. And matter of fact, we'll get a credit card and don't know the importance of how to pay that credit card. I'm 51 years old and just learned recently how to pay my credit cards in order for my Beacon score to go up and not down. So, and it's more to it than just paying your bill on time. So that's another class. But anyway, so number four is his or her debt. That's a big issue in conflict, money conflict in relationships. If you're getting ready to get married, I'm going to need you to actually ask some questions about some debt to the person you're getting ready to get married to, because it's important and it will impact you. Number four, you both have different risk tolerance financially. All right. So what does that mean? Okay. So let's just say you have a mate and that mate has a lot of faith when they get ready to purchase something, which means the money don't match, the credit don't match, but they'll get into a house that is three times what they should be paying, and they're broke every paycheck because they're paying a mortgage that's really too high for them. That living above your means. So that person has a high tolerance, high risk tolerance for living. If you have a low tolerance, which means you like facts. In other words, I'll take what I make, divide it into three, and my mortgage or my rent has to be lower than that number. You have low tolerance. And it's not that you don't have faith. It just means that you have a low tolerance for risking being broke all the time. Living above your means is going to have you living from paycheck to paycheck. And that's never a good feeling, because with living from paycheck to paycheck, you're evil. You're mad all the time. You don't have enough money to do what you need to do. And you're robbing Peter, asking Paul, and you know, and asking John for the loan. So you have to make sure that the risk tolerance you guys talk about, and if it's impacting you guys in a negative way, you got to talk about it and say, hey, we can't do this. No matter how bad we want this car, if the payments are $400 and $500 a month and we know it's out of our budget, we can't buy that car. So sometimes you're going to have some discipline and be a no to some purchases. Number five, what about trouble with blended families and blended finances? Well, Ms. Sharon over here, married with 10 children. 4 of them are mine biologically, and 6 of them are my husband's. So even with blended families and kids being home, you still have a certain way one parent financially supports their child, and a certain way the other parent financially supports their children. And there has to be some type of an agreement. It has to be some conversation about how we're going to do things. And, you know, kids pit parents against each other. You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, we did it when we was young, and the kids still do it now. So if the parents of the children are not talking and they're not on one agreement page on how they're going to do their finances, what they're going to spend money on, is if Susie wants to do gymnastics and Bobby wants to be in Pop Warner football, but you only have money to do one, do you do just one or do you not do either? Or do you seek sponsorship? But the conversation does need to be had, because what's going to happen is that there's going to be some arguments in regards to that. All right, number 6, supporting an adult child. Well, mothers, I'm talking to you right now. Some mothers have been okay with supporting children as old as 40. Now, I don't know if you know anybody like this before, but it's one thing if that child is 17 or 18. It's a whole nother ball game when the child is almost old as you, 40, 35, and 40, and still at home. Sometimes we have to teach our children about finances and help them understand how to get on their own and what that looks like, and maybe support them getting their own place, because they can be complacent with being home, and some parents can get complacent with having them home. And that can cause huge arguments within a family when an adult child is still home. Parents, we gotta get those children out the house. They need to be independent, responsible people. There's no way you should have a 40-year-old in your house. I really don't care what the circumstances are. 35, 40-year-old adults, not so much. So, you know, just make sure that you are being cognitive of the strain that adult children being at home can cause on your finances. All right. Number seven, out of sync with your retirement. That can be very scary when you're over 50. And if you don't have a significant retirement. So listen, guys, there's so many people that are going to be listening to this video. I need to have each and every person, if you have life insurance, go look at it. If you do not have enough life insurance to not only pay for your funeral and to pay for the bills you currently have right now and leave a legacy of wealth for your children, you don't have enough life insurance. Some people think, oh, well, I'm working, I got life insurance with my job. I guarantee you it's not enough. $25,000 is not enough to retire on. Also, just know that other cultures have been able to transfer generational wealth by making sure that they have adequate life insurance on their loved ones. So if you haven't really thought about life insurance, I need you to take a look at your life insurance policy. And if you don't have at least $300,000 or $400,000 life insurance policy, you need to rethink it again. And just a little tidbit, if you got a whole life policy, you need to call me right now. Like right now, like when I get off, I need you to inbox me and say, Sharon, I got a whole life policy. What's going on? And I need to tell you. Okay. So let's go over the 7 issues of money conflict in relationships one more time, in case you were just tuning in. The first thing is different money styles. People spend money differently. And some people spend money because, hey, I earned it. I want to do what I want to do with it. And then some people are more planners. They're more strategic. And those types of styles can very much so conflict in a relationship. not being transparent about where the money's going on both sides. Even if you don't have joint accounts, if you have separate accounts, you still need to be transparent about where the money goes. You are a couple. You are together. And everything you do matters. So please, don't just go and buy a $5 tin here, $10 here, $20 here. If you buy $20 or something five times, that's $100. So you need to understand every dime does count. And you can't just, you know, spend money frivolously when you're working on a small budget. Now, when you're rich and wealthy, you don't have to be concerned about that. But until you get there, I'm going to need you to talk about your finances. Number three, his and her debt. You need to have a strategic plan to get rid of your debt because it's important. You need to make sure that you're both working on your credit scores, making sure that you guys do not get negatively impacted and pay higher interest rates when you don't have to, and get some counseling on how to do that. All right, number four, different risk tolerance. You have some people that'll take risks with money. Oh, let me put this down payment on the car I want. It's $500 a month, but they're not even bringing home $1,500 a month. Is that a good idea? The answer is no, but is the risk tolerance for that person high? Absolutely yes, and they will just be broke. So if you have a high tolerance for risk on one end and a low tolerance on the other end, guess what's going to happen? An argument. All right. Different trouble with blended families and how those families spend money on their children. You got to talk about it, guys. You got to come up with a plan and a strategy so everybody in the family gets treated fairly and everybody gets what they need. All right. Number six, supporting an adult child in the home. Don't do it. If that child is over 25, they need their own place. Yes, you still love them. Yes, you want to make sure they're okay. Yes, it doesn't seem like they have the independence that they need mentally to be on their own. They're not going to learn it if you don't show them. Let them go. They need to be on their own and learn how to be an adult. Stop coddling old grown people living with you. All right. And number seven, out of sync retirement. You guys haven't thought about it. You don't really have a retirement. And not only that, you don't even have any idea what it's going to cost for you to retire home. Well, here's a good rule of thumb. Take currently what you're living at now, all your living expenses, and multiply that times 12 for the month to give you your annual living expenses just to stay where you are doing what you're doing. And those years, if you feel like after you retire at 65, you're still going to live another 10, 15, 20 years, then you multiply that figure by that. And that'll at least give you an idea of how much life insurance you need to have. So when you die, you can leave behind an inheritance for your family. So thank you guys for tuning in. You know I told you I don't keep you long. Again, you can go to my website, www.itsallaboutyou.solutions, or you can inbox me directly if you have more questions about this topic. Thank you so much for tuning in.